Let us pray.
Be seated, please.
Please be seated. Thank you. Let us pray. Ever-present God, as the scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, may it be to us as if the heavens are opening and we see your spirit descending on us like a dove, revealing your love for us as your daughters and sons. Amen. Today we hear one of four poetic passages in the book of Isaiah, referred to as the servant songs. They describe Israel's mission as God's servant people chosen to bring light to the nations. They represent some of the most advanced theology of the Old Testament. Though composed by an unknown prophet during Israel's exile in Babylon, which was 586 to 539 BCE, the early Christian church regarded these poems as prophecies about Jesus, the Messiah, Christ. Some biblical scholars have suggested that Jesus himself adopted these servant songs as the pattern for his ministry, which began with his baptism by John. The reading is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Listen for the word of God. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So ends the reading.
Our gospel reading, the simple story of Jesus' baptism by John, highlights the humility of Jesus, who fully accepted John's ministry and insisted on being baptized by him. In Matthew's version of this incident, it seems that not only Jesus, but perhaps all present, heard a voice from heaven. It is, in a way, Jesus' commissioning or the ordination for his ministry. Reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter, beginning with the 13th verse, listen again for God's word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A sizable crowd had gathered by the Jordan River. Oh, maybe not a huge enough crowd to please a politician, but still pretty decent. They'd come to be baptized with water for repentance by John, to hear John preach about one who is to come, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire? That doesn't sound good. Yet still they came. And then Jesus showed up. He'd left Nazareth and made his way to Galilee and joined the crowd down by the riverside. He'd come with a purpose, Matthew tells us, to be baptized by John. But John knows right away somehow that this is the one he spoke of. This is the one whose sandals John isn't even worthy to carry, much less worthy to dunk him underwater for the forgiveness of his sins. I need to be baptized by you. And you come to me? John asked. But Jesus knew what he was doing. Let it be so for now. For it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Trust me. So John said, okay, and took hold of Jesus and sent him backwards and under, down under the water's surface. And when Jesus rose up, sputtering perhaps, certainly drenched and dripping from the waters of the Jordan, light, brighter than the sunshine around him, filled the sky, for the heavens were opened. And God's Spirit came down from the heavens on wings like a dove and rested on his sopping wet head. And a heavenly voice, riffing on the words from Isaiah that we just heard, the words, "This is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights." That voice from heaven proclaimed, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Did everyone turn and stare down by the river? Or was it only John who heard and understood this public pronouncement? Only John and Jesus? Did the others look at the sky apprehensively and wonder if a storm was coming? Was that thunder? Did some hear but shake their heads in disbelief? John, after all, had announced an axe wielder, a winnower, a chaff burner, and here is a wet young man. And was that a bird? That crowd by the river may have been puzzled. The early Christians certainly were. If baptism means repentance and washing away of sins, and Jesus was without sin, what was that all about? And the first Christians weren't the only ones to wonder about baptism, about Jesus' baptism and their own. Probably as soon as there was more than one house church, the arguments sprang up. Full immersion or sprinkling, infant or adult, once or often. Here's what the gospel tells us. Jesus went to be baptized by one lesser than he, to the river, to the crowd, because it seems baptism happens in community. And because for Jesus to be baptized along with everyone else meant to be one of them, one of us, he heard himself named and claimed by a voice from above, felt himself anointed by the cool water and the shining light, and he went on to the desert of temptation, to a life of trial, to a painful death. He went on to proclaim good news, to heal the sick and sin-struck, to preach release from captivity and hope for all nations. He went in obedience to God, who had claimed him as God's own child, called him as God's faithful servant. And us? What about our baptisms? Now, some years ago now, I met a woman, a very nice, kind, lovely woman, who it turned out had once been a member of the church I was serving at that time. She had left after a disagreement, okay, let's call it a fight, with the then pastor. I know, it's hard to imagine that ever happening. Anyway, the fight was about baptism. The woman raised Presbyterian and baptized as an infant, as so many Presbyterians are, felt she'd missed out by being baptized as a baby, and she wanted to be baptized again. The minister said no, which frankly he had to. There's no wiggle room for us Presbyterian or pastors, as in some other denominations, for our church believes that baptism is a once and for all event, because it's not about us. It's not about our experience, not about proving our faith, about our accepting Jesus. It's not about how we feel or what we remember. It's about God. God is the main actor in baptism. We are the recipients, not the agents of God's grace. And we are to trust God's work. But every year the church marks the baptism of Jesus, which is a pretty good sign that our baptisms too are vitally important. As one commentator, the Reverend Susanna Metz, has said, we should remember that day, this day. We should celebrate the fact that we too were baptized with power and with the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that descended on Jesus like a dove. We might not get the visuals of the dove and the sky broken open or hear the voice, but we are equally grace-filled, filled with the Spirit, adopted as God's own, and given a mission and ministry for our lives. Baptism is about identity, about who we are and whose we are. At baptism, we are given a new name. And I don't mean Unjung or Ken or Bruce or Elaine. I mean Christian. We are marked as God's beloved children and commissioned as God's faithful servants. And let me be clear. Presbyterians do not believe that baptism is necessary for salvation, because baptism doesn't save us. Jesus does. And by that, I don't even mean save us from eternal damnation, because along with many others, I don't really think that's a thing. I mean save us from ourselves, our worst impulses and greatest fears, and so save us for God's beautiful service. So today we will remember our baptisms. Remember that we were baptized, those that have been, at whatever age. And we will celebrate and reaffirm our promises to God. Now, we may struggle these days, especially with this idea of renouncing evil and its power in this world. We know there is evil, and we see and feel its power daily. It doesn't take the latest horrific hate crime or Washingtonian decree to remind us. We recognize evil when we see it, even as we pray for its victims and perpetrators alike. So we aren't asked to be willfully blind to say, what, us worried? We are saved. We see no evil. No. We are asked to affirm that we will not give our allegiance to the powers of evil in this world, that we will be obedient servants of a better way. We will remember our name, Christian, which means that all the other names that we have maybe been called in this life, names like loser, snob, slob, victim, know-it-all, good-for-nothing, slut, stupid, illegal, useless, witch, I said witch with a W, plus some names that I won't speak from the pulpit, or I won't speak anywhere for that matter, all those names fall away when we remember that God has said, no, that is not your name. Your name is Beloved. Your name is my child. That God has said, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. It's not about us, our beliefs, our doubts, our strengths, our struggles. In the waters of baptism, we are claimed and we are sent. Claimed and sent by the one who is with us. Not sent to go off where we will, but to follow the way of Christ, with Christ, even when it's hard. Especially when it's hard. We are up to it. We are servants of the Most High, loved beyond measure, anointed for ministry in baptism, once and for all. Beloved and blessed, let's dive right into the joyful work that we've been called to and equipped for. Let us rejoice and be glad in it this day and each day of our drenched and shining lives. To God alone be the glory. Amen.